All right, ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, everyone. I can't believe Christmas is here. Already, I smell chestnuts roasting. I hear the bells jingling and Jack Frost nipping at my nose. Or perhaps I still haven't warmed up from the best game ever. Yesterday, what team was that, Michael? You did learn from me. Yeah. U of M grad there. Yeah, it was funny because I saw a couple people come in, and we have a lot of U of M grads in this congregation. So I apologize any state or Michigan State or Ohio State people in here. You're surrounded by some Wolverine. So I know it's still November, right? But it is Christmas. Thanksgiving is over. It's in the books. Let's put a fork in the turkey. Let's move on. Merry Christmas. You know, don't you love Black Friday? I remember on Thanksgiving, we'd get the ads really thick, and we'd spread them all out, and we'd look at all the things that we had to have, right? And then we'd map our route, right? So if Best Buy opened up at 6 a.m., we knew we had to get in line by 1 a.m., right? And then our friend or our sister-in-law was going to this store, so you gave them your list for this, and you made a map. I mean, some of the best military escapes and rescues and everything were not as technical and as good as what we did for Black Friday. I could say I, you know, used to love Black Friday. But what was even better than Black Friday? When they moved it to Thursday. Wasn't that even better? I mean, who needs Thanksgiving? It's my hope of all hopes that they're just going to move it to October 31st and we'll just skip Halloween as well. Right? I mean, plan early. But now online shopping, you can sit in your PJs. There's doorbusters that happen online. You don't even need to get out, right? So it's wonderful and wonderful. What else could be better? Some of you are looking at me a little strangely. I don't know if my hat's on crooked a little bit. I must have forgot a key detail, or it could be that we're starting our new series. And our new series that we're started for Advent that we're going to be leading up is called Christmas Wisdom, Navigating the Foolishness of the Season. As we barrel towards Christmas, as we check our lists and we look at them and think about all our presents, there's some of the different things that we do during this season that we don't do during others that we tend to regret. And today we're going to focus on overspending. Perfect as it comes after Black Friday, right? You know, experts predict that 22% of people will go into debt because of overspending at the Christmas season. That's more than 1 in 5 of all of us here will actually go into debt trying to one-up their neighbor or outdo it, or all of these different things. And we're going to be facing some great temptation in these coming weeks to actually do that. So today we're going to get practical. And we put the focus on our season back on what it really should be. And I actually know some people, and I know at Cornerstone they're doing this, that they're actually giving away cake packs or cake mixes to put a birthday cake together to celebrate the birthday we should be celebrating, right? Jesus' birthday. So what I'd like us to do is think about first that the cake helps us remember that Christmas is not my birthday. Okay, say that with me. Christmas is not my birthday, right? And I probably hit a nerve because I had some glares coming my direction when I was talking about Black Friday. From some of us, that is, and my sister-in-law is one. She actually did not go early. This was something that she's done, and I think she's like 38 now. And we actually called her on Black Friday thinking she had slept after she went out at 1 in the morning. She goes, I actually didn't go this year, and it was a literal shock. I mean, there was dead silence in the car when we talked to her. But there are some things that are positive, and cherishing and celebrating those that we love is one thing. And some of us, our love language is gifts, and that's what we love doing. But we don't want to do it in detriment of going into debt. So I know it's not your birthday, technically, but let's be honest. A lot of us may or may not think that it is our birthday and act that way, right? That 70-inch it's not plasma anymore, whatever it is, 10KH, I don't know anything about TVs. Big, huge TV that you were looking at in the papers. You weren't shopping for you. You were shopping for somebody, right? It wasn't to replace the one you bought on Black Friday 2 years ago, right? I'm sure it was for somebody else. And it's okay. We start off the season working on our list for others, and soon enough, we start making our own list because we deserve this, right? We do everything we put. I mean, I feel that way. I feel like sometimes I'm an observer in Christmas, right? So I buy myself a little gift because I'm making sure that everybody's getting the presents and the Christmas cards are going out and everything, so I feel like I deserve a little thing. We've all been doing that. We're checking our list or creating our list and checking it twice, minding our own business, and all of a sudden you see that electric razor or those essential oils or that bubble bath maker that makes bubble baths, and you think, I really need that. I could save some money if I get that massage chair. I wouldn't have to pay for massages anymore. And I should just buy my perfume. Or I'm using my own personal card, so my husband's not going to know what I'm doing. And pretty soon, we are buying ourselves a lot of presents. Marketers estimate that Americans spend $15.2 billion. Americans, $15.2 billion on unwanted personal care items during Christmas. And these are the things that you see as seen on TV, or the things you picked up in the checkout aisle or something, and now they're gathering dust. Or, for some of us, it actually works out really well because we have white elephant Christmas, too, and we can get rid of some of those things, like that nose hair trimmer you bought, or, you know, something along those lines. But marketers, really, that's what they go to school for. They tend to blur the line between wants and needs. And we fall for it. And that's called wisdom, right? As a backdrop to our series, we're going to be looking at Psalm 23. And King David wrote this, and he gave us a beautiful image of God. And here's how it begins. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In License to Preach School, for those that you were here a couple weeks ago, I told you I graduated from it. And one of the things they suggested is that we buy many different translations of the Bible. Because as you read different verses and different passages, sometimes the language is a little different. It helps you really think through different meanings. The other thing they have us do is to look at what the original translation actually meant. So I'm sure some of you know that the word love has many different translations. There's agape love. There's all these different types of translations in the Bible. And the word here originally is heser, which means lack or be without. So the NIV version of the Bible says, I lack nothing. The NLT version of the Bible says, I have all that I need. So I lack nothing, I have all that I need. Similar concepts, but different between the way they're translated. A need is something that we need to survive. Shelter, water, food. A want is some things we maybe put on our Christmas list that we absolutely want to have. And it's interesting that if you think about when King David wrote Psalms, he was King David, but he wrote back to a time when he was a shepherd. Okay? And he's painting the picture of God and who God is in Psalm 23. And he doesn't use his majestic, let's say, castle and all the people that he rules over and the power and the authority of who he is. He paints God as a picture using the reference from what he knew back when he was a shepherd. And if you know anything about shepherds, shepherds know their sheep intimately. They know all of their needs. They know their different quirks, their different things that they do. And so David wrote about God and described God in that psalm. And we need to do the same. We can't see God as a shepherd if we don't see ourselves as sheep. So let me explain. If we live into the lie that we're on our own, we tend to fill our lives with a lot of wants and artificial places of satisfaction. And we tend to rely on ourselves, and we're never going to truly feel whole without really being a sheep and letting God take care of our needs. And for some of us, it is overspending. It's things we don't need. It's a dangerous trap. And be careful of the pitfalls of you deserve this. And I'm not saying don't buy anything from yourselves. You can absolutely buy stuff yourselves. Like I said earlier, you can do it. But don't do it to the point where you're filling your closets and you're overspending and you end up being like the $15.2 billion worth of things that we don't need for self-care. Okay, so we talked about Christmas not being your birthday. Here's one that might be hard. Christmas is not their birthday. Okay, say that one with me. Christmas is not their birthday. Okay, who is they? It's anybody that you ask to make a Christmas list, or you even don't have to make a Christmas list. And why I said it's hard, because this is the one that probably resonates with a lot of us. We see Christmas is the reason that we get to shower our loved ones with gifts, or we're able to show our love through the gifts that we have. And it means spending, right? And before I continue, I do want to acknowledge something here. There are some people here in our congregation or in our community that we know that would love the ability to overspend and shower people that they love with their gifts. But they don't even have their needs met at this point. And I want to also talk about, there's this thing called a scarcity mindset. And when we have a scarcity mindset, we tend to switch from quality to quantity. So rather than thinking about this $10 gift you could buy for someone, you go to the dollar store and buy 10 $1 gifts because it's all about the quantity and the amount of things that you get. And we tend to, with that, end up overdoing it. Let me give you a personal example. I have a very, I'll say, by-the-book family-in-law, okay? And when I first started dating my husband, we had to buy presents for everybody in the family. Everybody bought a present for everyone, including the dogs, okay? I will be getting Zoe, my puppy, a dog, or a present for Christmas. Not a dog, honey, don't panic. I always say, Zoe needs a puppy, and he says, no, she doesn't. Okay, so back to my story. So we had to get presents for everybody, right? And it was actually pretty good to begin with when we got presents for everybody because it was new, and there was little things that you thought somebody needed, right? Well, I've known my husband, I think we figured out, over 20 years at this point. So it's been 20 years of gift giving and giving everybody presents, and pretty soon we just have a lot of clutter. So what did we end up doing? We now ended up to, now we are doing the exchange of writing the checks, right? So my mother-in-law says, if you don't pick out a present, then I'm just going to write you a check, right? And then we end up just taking the money she writes this check for and buying her a present. And it ends up just being silly. And sometimes you buy the wrong gift or a gift they already have, or heaven forbid, at Christmas, your kid opens up a present that they didn't want or didn't like or they already have. And you know kids, they're completely honest with that, right? And these, a lot of it's this dread and this anticipation. And for me, it's this anxiety of Christmas. And you end up not even enjoying it. And then the kids get older, and pretty soon nobody knows what to give them. So then you end up buying gift cards for your kids to exchange gift cards with their cousins, and everybody has to buy a $50 gift card. Well, if you have four kids and they have two, you end up spending double, right? So how is that fair? You're just watching them exchange gift cards. Here is the worst one. Santa. I don't know how many of you have tried to compete with Santa, but Santa has access to all of the gifts, right? And sometimes I think about all the stuff that Santa might bring my kids, and I start to worry, well, they're going to like Santa more than me. So I got to buy more gifts for them. They have to have, if Santa's going to bring them 10 gifts, I have to buy them 11 and have my name on different things. And let me tell you, you cannot compete with Santa because Santa can do anything he wants. And I've done that. I've spent more. So somehow, we think the amount shows how much we care. And it reminds me of a story in Luke 21. And this is where we're going to spend a lot of the remainder of our time here today. And you've probably heard of this story, and it's about the widow with the two coins. It says, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. So if you think about it, we're in the temple, there's all these rich people, and they're extravagant, and they're putting lots of coins and money and gifts, and these two widows put two coins into the temple. Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of wealth, but she, out of poverty, put in all she had to live on. Luke 21, 1 through 4. And a lot of the translations that I've heard or any type of sermons or messages I've heard on that really talks about how the widow gave all that she had humbly. And I'd like us to think about maybe there's a different twist on the story or a different way when we really think about what's happening. And it goes to where the story is actually placed in the Bible, in the scripture. And it comes right after a scene in Luke 20 where Jesus is warning against religious leaders who are preying on those vulnerable. Here's what he said. "Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the place of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." Luke 20, 46 to 47. So at this, Jesus is calling out the religious leaders that are flaunting their extravagance. And these are the same people he points out in the widow story who made giving about the amount, about the more, the extravagant, the more. And advertisers tend to play on those emotions of us as well. And you've seen them in some TV commercials, right? The husband and wife snowing outside, and they're having a cup of coffee, and the husband said, "I bought you a present." And she's all excited, and she says, "You did?" And, "Yeah, we have to go outside to get it." And she walks out. There's a brand new car with a big bow on it. And not just that, he also got a new car, right? His and hers with big, I mean, that's reality. Not in my life, right? I got to tell you, if you are buying two new cars at Christmas without your spouse knowing, overspending is the least of your worries at this point right now, right? So did you know that 46% of millennials and those with small children, so 46% of millennials and those with small children, will go into debt this year trying to be extravagant beyond their means? And overspending can be extravagant, but is it necessary? What are other things that we can do to truly be appreciated? The best thing that I think we did is we're going on a family vacation between Christmas and New Year's. Just a small one for us to be able to spend time together. And we'll still have a little bit of presents, but it's the quality time and it's the experiences that we're going to remember. Same thing with my family. We end up drawing a name. Everybody gets a present, and we do a white elephant. And let me tell you, the amount of anxiety that lifts off your shoulders when you're able to just really focus on being with your family is just so peaceful for this season. Okay, so we talked about Christmas not being your birthday. We talked about Christmas not being their birthday. How about Christmas is our birthday? Now, before you start writing emails about the blasphemy that I'm doing here, let me explain. I know I already said that Christmas is not your birthday, right? But Christmas is our birthday, if you think about it. Jesus was born for us. We get to celebrate our rebirth day. Our rebirth is to set us free from the pitfalls of sin, of looking at materialistic things, about relying solely on ourselves. And he came and died to break our chains of the sin and to really break free from the injustices that exist. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not," is to remind us that we can rely on God and God will give us all that we need. And if we think back to the story of the widow and the time when Jesus was in the temple, another thing was actually happening during that time as well. He had his disciples with him in this temple, and they were looking at the magnificence of the temple, and it's gorgeous, and all of the wonderful things, and they're just in awe of the beauty of it. And Jesus said to them, "It's soon going to crumble. As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." Luke 21:6. You see, the reason the story is placed about the widow is because of the injustice that was happening. People were extravagantly spending and extravagantly displaying all that they had. And unfortunately, this poor widow was having needs right in front of them, and they completely didn't even see her. It's an example of somebody that was pressured by a manipulative system that preyed on the penniless and made them think they had to go into debt and go above and beyond in order to be worthy. And during this season, I want us to think about Jesus not urging us to neglect the needs of others at the expense of our own extravagance. Look, we want you to have a wonderful Christmas season. And if you have the funds to spend and buy presents, we want you to do that. What we don't want you to do is to go into debt because you think that more and more and more is what is so crucial and what is so important. In fact, I wonder if there's a different way you can experience joy, the people around you. And what I really love about the widow story is that I don't see it as a story about generosity, where she gave her last two coins. I see it as a woman that wasn't in want, but she was in need. She wasn't in want because Jesus was her shepherd. See, God meets our needs. Every single one of us, he meets our needs. And I think he does that through the people in the church, through all of us, especially those that are in need the most. So I'm going to invite the band up, and I want us to think through, as we listen to this final song, think of an opportunity that we have to bless those around us, whether in our community or our family, and see how we can make a wonderful Christmas for everybody.